fell flat on my face there a second ago. Since we're talking about healing today, that would have been a good one. But today we are continuing in our series and going deeper. And I'm just giving you a heads up. This is a hard one. It's a heavy subject. And over the years and looking at my own life and talking to people as they reflect on how their pains that they have experienced in life impact their walk with God, I realize it gets personal real quick, and it can be very hard. I had someone tell me this week when they looked over some of the notes for the study guide, said, well, this might be stepping on some toes, and that was a good thing, I think. But, a few years ago, I actually had to go through a soul care spiritual formation class as part of my program up at NIAC. And I remember before we even showed up, there was usually a couple months worth of work you had to do before you got on campus, then a couple months afterwards to process everything. And I remember getting the assignment prior to the first class that I had to write a grief journal. And my first reaction was, I don't think I've ever experienced any genuine grief. And that was, honestly, I'm thinking, I really thought this would benefit other people, but it wasn't going to benefit me. But it was amazing. They kind of guided you through looking at every chapter of your life, like from childhood and into your high school years and then on into adulthood, and just kind of reflecting on the things that you experienced, good or bad or ugly. And what I found was there was a lot more than I realized. One of the things being a pastor and walking with people, there's a lot of things I've not experienced in pain and heartache. And yet I realized that even coming from a situation where I didn't think that project would be helpful for me, I found there were a lot more pains and struggles that I could see in my life and some consistent themes when I walked through that. So some of you are here today and you're going to hear the idea that we're looking at the idea of the wounds that we carry and how that impacts our walk with God. Some of you may be like I was before that class and say, well, this is for someone else. And I just want to encourage you, don't skip this week on the weekly challenge. Take the time in God's presence to let God guide you through and look at the pains that you've carried in your life. There are some of you, though, that are on the opposite end. You know there's pain there. You know there's heartache there. And when it comes to your walk with God, you've avoided talking about the pain and the heartache. And very likely haven't really talked and opened up to anyone else about some of the pains and the heartaches that you've experienced. And so your temptation is not going to think that what we're talking about today isn't relevant. Your temptation, if you're here and you know there's pain and you just don't want to talk about it, and that's been your MO of saying, well, I just kind of just plug along and I don't unpack anything. I want to encourage you to do the hard work of being in God's presence and bringing the pain that you're going through and reflecting on that pain so that God can bring healing into your heart and your life. And for those of you that are carrying some deep wounds, I want to tell you up front that most likely you're going to need to come alongside someone else to do that. Whether that's me or a counselor or another Christian friend, some of the stuff is heavy that we carry. But one of the reasons why this is so important, though, is that, and we've talked in other messages over the last couple of years about how we respond to pain in our life, and so I'm going to, we've talked about the fact that when we experience pain, sometimes we make bridges out of the pain, and sometimes we make walls out of the pain, barriers. And what I mean by that is sometimes when we go through difficult challenges, it becomes the pain and the suffering becomes a bridge to go deeper with God, where we're leaning into him, we're trusting him even more in the pain. But I've also found in my life and the lives of others that sometimes we struggle with the idea that we're going through the pain and the heartache, and we create a wall, a barrier, saying, well, God, if you really loved me, you wouldn't be letting me go through this. And we're not going to get into the specifics of that message today. That's something we've talked about. And the last time we talked about that topic, we looked at a couple of the Psalms of lament and the fact that the scriptures are full of prayers of lament where we're like, God, where are you? And you read through those Psalms and you see that It's okay to be honest with God with the pain and the heartache we're going through. God actually wants us to be honest about those things. He already knows what we're thinking. So expressing that is a helpful thing. But the Psalm of Lament starts with those cries of, God, where are you? When are you going to stop this pain? To some form of a statement of a declaration of, I'm trusting you. That you're my refuge, you're my fortress, that I can trust you. And so we're not going to revisit that message, but I would encourage you to look through the Psalms at some of those laments. If you're to deal with the pains that we're experiencing right now, it's good that we have that perspective to say, okay, what am I going to choose? This pain I'm going through, am I going to be honest with God and talk to him about what I'm going through and then choose to trust him in the midst of the pain? If I do that in a way that is healthy, it can become something that will help me go deeper in my walk with God, not become a barrier. But today we're not focusing on those current pains. Today we're talking about the wounds that we carry, the scars that we carry. And how those wounds and those scars can be impacting our walk with God. And so what I want us to be focusing on today is that idea of the past injuries that we've experienced, the past hurts and the scars that we carry from them, and how they are impacting us in our walk with God. Now I want to say, as I already mentioned, that while this might be uncomfortable, something many of you want to avoid, I just want to tell you it's worth it. It's worth it not only to find healing, but it's worth it to go deeper in your walk with God. I've shared before that I was overwhelmed with Martin Sanders, the head of the doctoral program up at NIAC. When I started the program, his wife was diagnosed with a terminal disease. And for the first 2 years I was in the program, we were walking with Martin, the director, through that experience. And I can remember in the week or two prior to Diane's passing, he actually had shared, and it connected everything he had been teaching us as students. He said, I don't want to waste this pain. I don't want to waste the pain. He was in the process. It was a long goodbye, saying goodbye to his wife. And he didn't want to waste it. And that reflects that idea to say, let's not waste the pain. Let's not ignore it. God wants to bring healing to our hearts. But as we trust him in that healing process, it is also something that it's in context of a relationship with Jesus where we're bringing the pain and we're bringing the heartache with us into his presence that he can bring healing to our hearts. That is the challenge today. And so with that, I'm just saying up front, I know some of you are going to hate me after this message. And that's okay, because it's like I am finding my own, and for myself, and I will share without going into a lot of detail, that a few years ago when I walked through the grief journal and thinking this isn't relevant to me, I had no anticipation of understanding what I'd be walking through in the last 2 years. And the pain and the heartache that I've been walking through in the last 2 years, I thank God that I had walked through this before. Because the pain I'm going through is something that I'm making a choice every day to say, God, I'm not going to let this pain keep me from you. I'm going to let this pain push me closer to you. And that's a choice that we make. And so when we're walking through difficult waters, we have the opportunity to lean into him and to trust him, but we also have to become more aware of the pains that we carry and how those things have shaped us and how they're impacting the way we trust God and walk with him. Two things, if we start unpacking this, there are two different ways that we are often find wounds in our lives. One is more a direct of an injury of some form. And that's kind of our first thing that we think of, that we're wounded because someone hurt us. It's something was done to us. I would add to this that sometimes that's self-inflicted. Sometimes it's not that we've been injured by someone else, but sometimes our own stupidity or our own actions or carelessness can bring pain into our lives. But someone caused an action that brought us pain, whether it's self-inflicted or someone did something to us. And so today, as you think about the pain and the wounds that you carry throughout your life, there are probably some specific people that come to your mind. And last week's message, where Steve talked about forgiveness, is directly connected to this week's message. If you're carrying hurts and wounds, and you know someone has offended you and hurt you, we need to process the forgiving and offering forgiveness to those people, but we also realize that even after we've forgiven and we've experienced forgiveness and offered forgiveness, the wound and the scar is often still there. And we have to be willing to say, God, here's the hurt. I need you. And so injuries are a part of that. And so don't forget to think through the forgiving aspect of this. But one of the other things, though, sometimes we don't think about, we're quick to think about the wounds we experience because of what someone has done to us or the injuries that we've inflicted upon ourselves. But sometimes our injuries come from things that we're lacking. And psychologists would say it's a deprivation to basic development, human development, the way we're created. There are certain things that, and we know this, if you've raised kids, you know this. Or if you've known people that were lacking any of these things, or you've experienced a lacking in any of these things, you know it has an impact on us and how we're shaped. And the idea of the deprivations are some foundational needs in our life aren't met. And that can be an issue of security. If you see a child who doesn't know they're safe, it has an incredible impact, not only them in their present, but it shapes them, it impacts them. If we have a child who's experiencing abuse in their home, that basic nature, that basic need of security is not being met. Along with that comes the issue of trust. A lot of these things are things you expect to be provided in that care unit, in the home. And when those things don't happen, it causes deep pain and deep hurts in people's lives. And so sometimes it's not just a lack of security, it's a lack of trust. When someone that you trust and that you love, a father or mother or someone that is a caregiver, does something to violate trust, it causes a deep pain and heartache in a person's life. Sometimes the deprivation can come from just not knowing you're loved. Maybe never hearing it. Or maybe you heard it, but their actions didn't align with what they were saying. Sometimes it's an issue of intimacy and closeness. No one ever really seemed to open up to you. And a lot of us, men especially, one of those needs can be affirmation. Both men and women need affirmation, but most people in any counseling book will tell you this, men, that's one of your top needs, is affirmation. And so if you were lacking being affirmed by your parents or others that cared for you, not receiving that affirmation of, I'm proud of you, I love you for who you are, that creates a scar in our lives. It's one of the reasons I have to be very careful in my own life with my own kids to make sure that I not only tell them I love them, but every opportunity I have, I try to tell them the ways I'm proud of them. Because my wound, and I'll get to this a little later, my wound was with regard to affirmation. I knew my parents loved me, no doubt of that. But there was a struggle, and as I unpacked all of that in my own life, I realized that I was still really pushing myself to try to earn affirmation, mainly from my dad, but from my parents as a whole. And I want to say one thing before I keep going. The goal of this is to find healing and go deeper with God. It's not in any way to not honor our parents. If you're here today and the wounds come from your home, sometimes I've talked to people, they're afraid to unpack these things because they don't want to in any way dishonor their parents. And you can do this in a way that is still honoring to your parents. And I have done my best to do this. And so I encourage you, don't be afraid to unpack those things. The goal is not to trash anyone. The goal is to find healing. So anyways, that helps us get started. But when we think about those wounds, what does God's word say about the wounds that we carry and the healing that we need to be whole? What does God's word tell us? Our call to worship this morning is one of the most well-known passages of Scripture from the Old Testament that is a prophetic picture of who Jesus is and what Jesus does for us. And a prophetic means these are written before Jesus ever stepped in physical form onto this earth. These are words that, about Jesus that are before he was born, before his gathering disciples and living and ministering for 3 years and then going to the cross and dying and then rising again. These are words that hundreds of thousands of years prior during the prophet Isaiah's ministry. And as we read this, think about what it tells us about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. It's an incredible picture. If you take an image of the cross and what Jesus suffered on the cross, or even think Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, and the horrific images that you saw in that movie, that are probably pretty accurate to what Jesus experienced, both in the torture that led up to the cross and then the actual crucifixion. You see an incredible picture of, and this often in your Bible, it actually, this section might even be have a title, The Suffering Servant. It's describing Jesus' suffering. It's describing his pain and the heartache that he will go through for us. But it does that. We see that, not only a picture of his suffering, but we see the things that he's going to secure for us in the cross and through his suffering. And one thing that is most clear is that Jesus, in suffering and dying on the cross for us, he dealt with our sin. He carried our sin, our transgressions, our iniquity, the different terms that are used here. He took those things upon himself upon the cross. Verse 5 says he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The reality is what Jesus did on the cross is he took the punishment that we should have been paying for our sin. He took that upon himself so that we can find forgiveness. So that the sin, the iniquity, the things that separate us from a holy and perfect God, those things could be dealt with because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He took those things upon himself so that we can be forgiven. These verses tell us a lot more. Jesus doesn't just deal with our sins so that we can find forgiveness. Jesus suffered and died so that we might be whole. So that we might know peace. Or literally, shalom, a word we were hearing a lot in the news yesterday. You know, there are some people, and as I talk about these verses and what it tells us about sorrow and grief and our healing that we can find in Jesus, I'm aware that there are many Christians today that look at these verses and they will say, no, this is only referring to spiritual things. It doesn't relate to healing, physical healing or emotional healing. And they write that off. And yet, in Matthew 8, we're not going to look at the verses specifically, but if you want to look at it later, Matthew 8, 14 through 17, in one of the many occurrences where Jesus is healing someone, specifically in those verses, Jesus is healing Peter's mother-in-law. And following the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, he quotes these exact words. In the context of a physical healing, he says, this was to fulfill the words of Isaiah. We can celebrate the fact that what Jesus did on the cross is not just so that we can be forgiven and restored a relationship with him, but that we might be whole. And something that's helpful that we need to remember is everything Jesus has done for us has an immediate now impact, but also a not yet impact. We live, and I've used that terminology before, we live in the in-between where Jesus died and rose again. He's established his kingdom. The kingdom has come, but the kingdom is also coming. We celebrate a Savior who has come, and we can know the salvation. We can experience his kingdom now, but we also look forward to a day that Christ comes to make all things new. And this relates to this issue of healing. And I think it's why some people are uncomfortable with the idea of looking at Isaiah 53 and thinking that it has anything to do with physical or emotional healing is, well, we pray for people that are sick and they die. And we struggle with that idea to say, well, why isn't everyone healed? The work Jesus did on the cross has immediate benefit, but there's also a future impact of what Jesus did on the cross that we're going to experience in the fullness of our salvation when Jesus returns for us. And I can't explain why one person experiences physical and divine healing and someone doesn't. But I know that through Jesus, he is working our healing, that we might be whole. And if we're not physically healed, if you have a physical ailment, if we're not physically healed in this lifetime, we can still pray with confidence knowing that Jesus is the healer. And he's given us the opportunity to pray and to seek healing. But we know there's a day coming that we will be whole. There will be no more death, no more tears, no more dying. So we need to remember that now and not yet. But just a reminder, these verses are clear that there is something more than just the forgiveness of sins that Jesus secures for us on the cross. Some of the language we see says that he has borne or carried our griefs. And literally that word is misery resulting from some form of affliction. He's not only borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows. That's some sense of unhappiness that we've experienced in life. And later it says that upon him, upon Jesus, was the chastisement that brought us peace. And that word, if you want to make a note, that's where shalom is in this passage. And that idea of shalom is most often translated peace, but it's much bigger than the idea of we look at peace and we think it's the absence of conflict. But the idea of shalom is wholeness, completeness. And Jesus has taken the punishment of our sin to not only so we might find forgiveness, but that we might find shalom, might find peace, might be whole, complete. And then it goes on, it says, and with his wounds or his stripes, we are healed. And literally, the sense of the word here is to be cured, to be made healthy. There's healing found in Jesus on the cross. And Jesus not only suffered and died for our sins, but he also, to address the pain and the suffering that we experience in this world. Often a lot of people struggle with the idea of putting their faith in God because they see the pain and the heartache in this world and they think that God is indifferent to it. And if you're here today and you struggle with that, I encourage you, look at the cross. Jesus understands suffering. And what Jesus did on the cross was to bring an end to the pain and the suffering that sin brought into this world. And we can experience a little bit of that now, and we can experience, I look forward to him bringing the fullness of that when Jesus comes to establish his kingdom. So today, if you're here and you're reflecting on your woundedness and your hurts, I just want you to reflect on these words and know not only does Jesus love you enough that he would die for you, that you might be forgiven and restored to a relationship with your Heavenly Father. But Jesus understands pain, he understands suffering, and he has begun a work in us to bring wholeness. And that's why I honestly believe we celebrate in the Alliance Jesus as Savior, Sanctifier, and Healer. Healer and coming King. And I believe that today that often many people may actually come to the point where they experience Jesus as healer even before they experience Jesus as Savior. We can argue that later. But I think the world in which we live in is so broken right now that I think God will use bringing wholeness and healing into people's hearts and their lives to that place where they receive Jesus as Savior and as Lord. But as we do that, I just want to encourage you to think about the fact that our healing, we realize most of our wounds that we experience, we get the idea of a physical wound. And as we get older, it seems like we carry more and more of those. I love the fact that as I describe some pain I'm having in my right knee, I've had at least two different people say, well, that sounds like early arthritis. I don't love that. Arthritis is not a word I want to hear right now. As we get older, we know there's physical pains, there's physical heartaches, and yet we also know that when it comes to healing, that need for emotional healing and for God to heal the deep hurts in our life is a real need for every one of us. And that brings us to some other scriptures I'd like to reflect on today before your assignment for the week. often when we think about the pain and the heartache, we fall into that place where we're asking that universal question of, God, where are you? Where is God in our pain? And I absolutely believe that's a universal question. And that's why I love the Psalms, because the Psalms deal with it again and again. And those laments that you see in the Psalms, it gives us that picture of, God, how long? How long do we have to wait? Or how long do I have to suffer? When will you come to my defense? I mean, you read all the Psalms, especially the Psalms of David, you see those, that crying out in pain. But I believe that actually in that universal question of where is God in our pain, that if we really reflect on that and think about it, that can be the beginning of healing in our hearts and our lives. We need to have the honesty and the willingness to pray honestly and tell God how we feel and express those cries of heartache and despair and say, God, where are you? It's okay to say those things. But when we look at the words that in these Psalms, Psalm 34, 17 through 19, and Psalm 23, 4, are very familiar words, there's an answer to where God is when we're walking through difficult challenges and pain. Psalm 34, 17 says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. Where is God in the midst of pain? He's near to the brokenhearted. Whether that's you or the people we're praying for from yesterday in the news, I believe God shows up in the midst of pain, and he's there. And it may not always be visible, may not always be seen by those that are present. Sometimes he's seen in the actions of those who step in to care and to demonstrate love, the helpers that we've been talking so much in the last couple of days in the news, the people that see the tragedy and they step in to help. Often that's one of the ways God shows his presence. Psalm 23:4, again, well-known psalm, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The reality is that knowing God is with us in the midst of our pain brings comfort. But I want to ask you, what about those moments where you didn't see God at work? Some of you are thinking right now of time in your life to say, I believe that idea that, yeah, God is there. He's available for those that are hurting, but I walk through a difficult time and I don't remember God being present there. This is where I encourage you this week to take some time in God's presence to reflect on that pain and ask God to begin to show you where he was. Sometimes the healing can come just by having an awareness where you think that through, and this could happen even at counseling time, where you look back at a situation and you say, this seemed like a dark moment in my life, and I didn't think God was present, but now that I look back, I see God was there, strengthening me, upholding me. Or God was present in the midst of this situation through this person, being there to provide for me, to care for me. Sometimes it's just a matter of developing that awareness. But I also believe that sometimes God wants to take that hurt and he wants to speak to you and reveal himself to you in the midst of that pain. And so today, I want to say a few things. Don't run from this. Those of you that are carrying some deep hurts and you're saying, God, I don't know where you were, and I'm really kind of ticked that you weren't there with me during that time of my life, that season of my life. And you, everything within you wants to just run from this or just stuff it, just ignore the pain. I want to encourage you to be brave this week and do the two things concurrently. We've been talking for the last 5 weeks about pursuing God's presence. As you spend time in quietness, opening up God's word, spending time in quietness and getting close to God and drawing into his presence, then take some time to reflect on some of those pains and those heartaches. And as you come, those two things come together, then ask God to begin to show you where he was in the midst of that pain. And ask him to begin a work of healing in your heart, in your life. A book that I would definitely recommend to You, Rob Reamer's Soul Care book. Those of you in the small groups are going to look at a lot of that this week. He deals with this much better than I can in a 30-minute time frame. But he says this about that idea of going into God's presence and letting God speak to us. He says, we have soul bruises from past events and memories, but Jesus was present at the time of our wounding. And often a revelation of His presence, a picture of His presence accompanied by His voice, can allow the healing to flow into our souls. Short summary of that. He says, sometimes God will bring back a memory to us that's connected to that pain, and show us, sometimes literally in an image in our mind, he'll give us an image of where He was. Or sometimes He's just going to speak to us. Sometimes He's going to do both. But you're going to get a reminder that you weren't alone, and you're going to get a picture of where He was in the midst of that pain. And there's something that is healing in that. And again, Rob's work is very helpful with that. I encourage you to pick that up if you can. But I want to share a personal example of this, and I shared a couple people. I said, I struggle. I think I may have shared some of this, but I haven't shared all of it. And I'm well aware that my parents sometimes listen to these messages. And that's why what I said about honoring my parents, as a parent, I get it. I look at, and as I know my parents' stories, they were way beyond what they received from their parents. And I've tried my best to provide for my kids the best that I can. The best parent will in some way wound their kids. But as I walk through that grief journal, one of the things that I shared a moment ago, that one of my wounds was that idea of affirmation. That, like, I had no question my mom and dad both loved me. That was there. That was something that was said in our home. It was something I experienced. But there was a deep longing in my heart just to know and to hear my father say, "Doug, I'm proud of you." And as an adult, I've heard those words. And I realized that one of the reasons I became aware that that was a wound was because I realized I had a really strong emotional reaction to my dad telling me that a few years ago. And so my emotional response was greater than it didn't fit the context of what was happening. So I'm like, something's going on in my heart with this. But in this program, we had a time where we were sent off and said, you just need to go and you need to pray. Get into God's presence and ask God to reveal to you a moment or a memory of where that is connected to that pain. And as I shared that story, I very clearly had an image of my dad and I doing yard work, and we were arguing, and there were words exchanged, and I'm not going to go into the detail of those words, but I remember it connected to that pain, of that not feeling affirmed, that my value, I came to a realization that I have come to a point in my life that I thought my value was dependent upon my performance. We talked about that a couple weeks ago when we talked about identity, that it's how I perform. If I do good, I'm valued. If I don't do good, I'm not valued. And so there was this exchange in this memory that God brought to my mind. And then as I asked God to reveal Himself in this moment, specifically for Jesus to show up in that memory, and I'm telling you right now, I know this sounds weird. I'm just telling you my experience. I had an image of Jesus standing between me and my father, reaching out, pulling us together. And two words I heard clearly, embrace and reconciliation. And as I reflect on that, I not only heard the words, I saw that in my mind, that picture of Jesus bringing us together, I felt a level of compassion for my father that I had never felt before that. And I realized through some of the other assignments we had to do with that and talking to my mom and dad about what they experienced, my dad and I have the same wound. And my dad did much better than what his father did. And not only communicating love and affirmation. And so I've realized my father's wound, my wound, very likely, unless I'm careful, this could be Bryce and Katie's wound. And so I'm very intentional to say, how can I make sure that I'm affirming them and loving on them? And I know there have been times where I've fed that notion of, well, you got to work, you got to earn it. So that's my story. Again, some of you are hearing that story and saying, Pastor, that's a little weird. I'm just telling you my experience. And the scriptures are clear that old and young men will have visions. That God will speak to us sometimes verbally. That God will speak to us sometimes giving us an impression on our hearts. And sometimes God speaks to us in our dreams. And sometimes God gives us an image in our minds. And that's actually a way, going back to when I was in my 20s, that God often spoke to me. Of putting an image in my mind and allowing me to know what he was telling me through a picture. Doesn't do it all the time, but sometimes he does. And in that moment, it was clear. God was speaking. So today, challenge. You heard my story. I share that as a help, hopefully, kind of what your challenge is for the week. This week, the challenge is for you to discover. And you don't have to write all this down. Don't try to write all this down. It's in your bulletin already, the insert. But the weekly challenge, one first is discover. Reflect on the different seasons in your life. What pains or wounds have you experienced? What injuries have you received? And what needs were unmet in your life? And consider writing that down, whether it's a journal or just a separate piece of paper. Take some time to reflect on that. Unpack. And then when you start getting that, then take some extra time to seek God's presence, like we've been talking about. And as you quiet yourself before God, ask him to bring to your mind a key memory relating to your wound. And then ask God to reveal where he was in that moment. God will often bring images to your mind that can bring significant healing in our lives. Ask God to heal the hurts of your life and to help you grow deeper in your relationship with him. And I want to say, some of you may not get an image like that. Some of you, though, you're going to be thinking about that memory, and God's going to remind you this was a dark moment, but I remember Susan was there with me. And Susan just loved on me and cared for me. And God worked through Susan to be in that situation. So I mean, it could be that God just brings an awareness so you see that situation with new light and realize God wasn't absent. He was present. But don't be afraid of God giving you that image, that vision as well, and speaking to you specifically. And this is the third part of the assignment, is community. One of the reasons we wanted to structure the Life Impact Groups to be walking through this is a lot of this stuff. Like the last 3 weeks, we've been dealing with self-awareness. The self-awareness about the lies we believe and our needing to find our identity in Christ. Last week, Pastor Steve, while I was away, brought the challenge of being aware, have a self-awareness of the ways that we need to offer forgiveness to other people or receive forgiveness. And today, the idea of self-awareness is understanding our hurts, the hurts that impact our walk with God. And then doing something about it. As we unpack all of those things, community is so critical. And that's why we want you to be in our group. But if not, call me. Talk to Pastor Steve or talk to one of the elders here or another Christian friend that you're comfortable with. But talk to someone and process this. Some of you might be able to do this on your own, but most of us need community. We need at least another brother or sister that we can talk about this stuff to. And I just want to tell you again, it may be hard, and some of you, again, are scared with even the idea of taking the time to do this, but I want to tell you it's worth it. And even as I said earlier, that a few years ago, I could never anticipate the pain that I've experienced in the last 2 years. But I am eternally grateful for the fact that I walked through this a few years ago, because it's what's kept me above water these last 2 years. To know I'm not alone. Not only do I have a congregation that has been loving and supportive, but God has been faithful and God has been present. And he can do that in your heart and your life as well. And I just encourage you, don't run from the pain. Let God speak to you in the midst of the pain so he can begin a new healing, new work in your heart and your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord, when we had that picture of the suffering that Jesus did for each one of us. Lord, it's a picture of love. It's a picture of our Heavenly Father sending a son, his son to die for us. Lord, help us to be aware of not only the fact that we can find forgiveness and that our sins can have been dealt with on the cross, but Lord, help us to lean into you and to trust, Lord, that you can bring healing. And we look forward to that day, Lord, that there will be no more death, no more tears, when you fully establish your kingdom. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to just hold out our hands to you and to trust you, to walk with you through the good and through the bad. And Lord, especially during those seasons of pain, Lord, help us to just trust you to be with us and be working in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.